Our scripture readings today speak to a transition of ministry and mission from Jesus to the apostles. It can be read as coincidence or not that these readings come up in the Revised Common Lectionary as this church works through its own transition of leadership, as the search team continues its work, who you will hear more from in the coming weeks. And as we celebrate Karen's ministry with us these past 2+ years. Next Sunday, others will speak words of gratitude to Karen, but I would like to offer a few words now. Karen, it's been a pleasure and a privilege to be in ministry with you these past 2 years. And it's been quite the ride. I don't know if you remember, but we went for lunch at the Thai place down the road at the beginning and dreamed about what our shared ministry would look like. And I don't think either one of us had a global pandemic to navigate on our wish list. There is much to be proud of, I think, and much that could be said. But what I really want to tell you is that it has been a joy to watch you shine these past 2 years. Shine in leadership, shine in preaching, shining, offering new perspectives born out of your experience and your wisdom and your goodness. And you shone these past 2 years because you enabled and encouraged others to shine too. This church is now ready to take the next step in its journey because of your work. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your ministry. Let us pray. God of witness and wonder, God of transition and transformation, please be with all of us as we take the next step in our journey towards you. Always, always towards you. Amen. Okay, here's the scene. The resurrected Christ had just spent 40 days appearing to his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. He also tells them that in this time to wait in Jerusalem for the one who would come after him, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. After his last appearance, the book of Acts says that Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight, and he was gone. The disciples were left alone, likely confused, likely frightened. The movement following this Jesus had grown to about 120 people at this point. Women, men, old, young, rich, poor, all together and all wondering about what to do next now that he was gone. And then Peter, taking up the role of the rock that Jesus said he would, stands up and speaks to them. "I know what we should do," he says. "We need to replace Judas as one of the 12. A common interpretation is that 12 was a spiritually significant number for the early Christians because it related to the 12 tribes of Israel. And there is very likely truth in this. But I think Peter and all of them were also looking for healing. Healing of the rupture that Judas, their friend, caused by his betrayal. And maybe Peter was also feeling the guilt of his own betrayal, his denial of Jesus when things got tough. And he just wanted to do something to feel useful again, to feel worthy of the trust that Jesus had placed in him. Whatever the motivations, it is significant that this selection of a new apostle was the very first thing that the Christian community did together. And not just that they did it, but how they did it. This was the Roman Empire, after all, where power was not shared or transferred easily, and gaps in the chain of command were most often filled with violence and blood. But that is not what we see here with these early Christians. There is no dynastic impulse here, no family compounds to satisfy, no political institutions to feed. They simply and soberly lay out the terms by which the apostles should be selected. One, they must have been with them from the start. And two, they must be a witness to the resurrection. Continuity and witness. Those were the criteria which left two candidates standing. Matthias and Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice. And again, it is noteworthy that Matthias and Justice did not take up arms or launch leadership campaigns. There was no opposition research or character assassinations or attack ads. Just a prayer, a common prayer. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship. Lord, you know everyone's heart. And then the book of Acts tells us that the decision was made by casting lots, essentially flipping a coin. It was a method frequently mentioned in the Hebrew Bible as a way that people would discern God's will. Prayer and leaving it in God's hands. Think about that for a moment. It was as countercultural then as it would be now. But that is how they made this vital decision. The lots were cast and Matthias was chosen. Matthias would take Judas's place as a face of the movement, one of the 12, an apostle of Christ. Matthias was chosen, which meant that Justice was not. It was pondered this week how Justice might have felt in that moment, unchosen. Not just unchosen, but supposedly unchosen by God. Unchosen in front of all his friends, his community, these people he had been with since the beginning. Can you put yourself in Justice's shoes? How might that have felt? Shame? A blow to self-esteem and self-worth? A challenge to identity? A challenge to faith? Perhaps you have gone through something like this in your life. I know I have. Perhaps we carry pain from the times when we were not chosen, when we were left behind, when it felt like the world was moving forward, but not for us. Scripture does not tell us how Justice felt in that moment, but history gives us some clues about how he acted after not being chosen that day. The great preacher and early church leader John Chrysostom writes that Justice did not become bitter or twisted or vengeful. He did not betray Jesus. He stayed in Jerusalem, as Jesus instructed, to receive the Holy Spirit with the rest of the community. And then he took Jesus' message and ministry out into the world. Justice founded and became the bishop of a small city south of Jerusalem. History records him as a person of faith and remarkable bravery. He ran afoul of not one but two Roman emperors. He was imprisoned by Nero for not renouncing his faith. And then he was martyred by Vespasian as part of a murderous reaction to the Jewish rebellion in 68 AD. The faith remembers him as the blessed Joseph Barsabbas Justice, one of only three to be given with the honorific, the blessed. He continues to be the patron saint of the unchosen, the passed over, the neglected by this world. When the disciples prayed to God who should take Judas's place, they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. You know everyone's heart. What gifts we have, what we are capable of, and how each has a place and can play a meaningful role in the ministry of Jesus and the kingdom of love he spoke so often about. Just because Justice wasn't chosen doesn't mean he wasn't called. Just because he wasn't chosen doesn't mean he wasn't called. I'm reminded of this poem from the Hebridean Altars. 7 times a day as I work upon this hungry farm, I say to thee, Lord, why am I here? What is there here to stir my gifts to growth? What great thing can I do for others, I who am captive to this dreary toil? And 7 times a day thou answerest, I cannot do without thee. Once did my son live thy life, and by his faithfulness did show my mind, my kindness, and my truth to all. but now he is come to my side, and thou must take his place. Thou must take his place. If it were true for justice, the same is true for us. Even when we feel unchosen, passed over, stationary in a world that is moving entirely too fast, we are still called by God, called in our own unique and beautiful way into something meaningful and spirit-filled and life-giving, and not just for us, but for the world around us. The ongoing mission and ministry of Jesus takes many different forms and requires many different gifts. Embodying God's love in the world is something we are all called to. Hear now these words from our own A Song of Faith. In the church, some are called to specific ministries of leadership, both lay and ordered. Some witness to the good news. Some uphold the art of worship. Some comfort the grieving and guide the wandering. Some build up the community of wisdom. Some stand with the oppressed and work for justice. To embody God's love in the world, the work of the church requires the ministry and discipleship of all believers. I know a man named John who leads a Bible study circle at the All Saints Church at the corner of Sherbourne and Dundas. John is a regular guy who works a regular job. He has a reasonable haircut and wears khaki pants, and he has never felt the nudge to enter seminary, but he feels a deep and genuine calling from God to bring hope and healing and community to some of the most vulnerable people in our city. When I was studying at Emmanuel College, I would often go to John's Bible study and hear the stories of people in that circle and feel the immediacy of their faith, the urgency of faith that comes when it is all you have to cling to. I may have been learning about the gospel in my theological studies, but John was living it. He was living the gospel in that circle. Through him and his friends, I came to know street-involved people not as statistics or as sermon illustrations, but as people, real people, Lloyd and Joanne and Patty and George and the others, the ones who the world sees as unchosen, passed by, left behind. But in that little circle of disciples, everyone had a voice, everyone could share of their gifts, everyone felt part of something important. We were all defined not by how we looked or how much money we had or how we would or where we would sleep that night, but by our relationship to God, by what was in our hearts. In the gospel, according to John, we hear Jesus praying for those who would continue his mission and ministry after he is gone. All mine are yours, he prays, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Again and again, we read that Jesus and his followers do not belong to the world. That is to say, the world's metrics for success and its unrelenting speed do not shape our essential identity, who we are in the sight of God. This is not to manifest a holier-than-thou attitude, but rather affirm that the way of Jesus includes a setting apart. A setting apart for holiness, a setting apart for God's special purposes, a setting apart for call. I cannot do without thee. Once did my son live thy life, and by his faithfulness did show my mind, my kindness, and my truth to all. But now he is come to my side, and thou must take his place. I cannot do without thee. God's call is not just for those who have an official role in the church, not just those who preach or do advanced theological studies, It's not solely reserved for the mystics or the martyrs or those whose acts of service get them on the evening news. God's call to mission and ministry is extended to all disciples, all God's children. It is for ordinary people living ordinary lives, doing the best they can with what they have. It is for the lonely, the lost, the left behind, those who cling to faith with the urgency of a shipwrecked person clinging to a life raft. In God's love, each of us is unique and precious. Each of us has our place in the whole. Each is needed and absolutely essential to heal the circle ruptured by betrayal and the worship of idols of power and money and status. Each one of us is called to set down the stones of shame that we all too readily use to harm each other and ourselves. We are called to quiet the internal voices that say, we aren't brave enough, we aren't gifted enough, we aren't holy enough to be worthy of mission and ministry. We aren't good enough to be worthy of love. It's not true, God calls to us. I know what's in your heart. I know your gifts. I know your goodness. I know your worth. You are precious to me and deeply loved. So come to my side, because I cannot do without thee. Amen.